Today, we're going to be looking actually at several texts that point out our worship through sacrifice. And so our worship through sacrifice. So we're going to talk about worship this morning, but we're going to talk about worship through sacrifice. Always one of our favorite topics, right? Everybody loves to sacrifice, right? But it is important for many different reasons, and we're going to discuss some of those this morning. But I think it's important to start with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I've actually preached on this topic before of worship, and I've preached before on these particular verses in Romans chapter 12. But this morning, I want to summarize these verses and give us a foundation for the message this morning, because really my aim this morning is going to be, is I want to call us to a deeper or greater sacrifice in our lives that draws us closer to Christ. And so we want to look at, we want to look inward and examine our lives and examine our sacrifice as it pertains to worship to the Lord, so that we might be drawn closer to Him this morning. So let's start with the reading of God's Word in Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. As Christians, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's what the Word says. God wants from us a visible, lived out, bodily evidence that our lives are demonstrating God as our treasure. We should let every act, let every act of our living body show that Christ is more precious to you than anything else. We should let every act of our living body be a death to all that dishonors Christ. So in everything that we do, we should be showing that our lives are living out a demonstration that God is our treasure. And so we want to make sure that we have that. But beyond that, if we look in the book of Isaiah, the Lord prophesies about a time when Egypt will worship the Lord. And he says in Isaiah 9, chapter 19, verse 21, so the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and in that day they will acknowledge the Lord. They will worship with sacrifices and grain offerings. They will worship with sacrifice and grain offerings. So we can see here in Scripture already that we know that worship is being done through sacrifices and through offerings. Making sacrifices before the Lord is a way we worship Him. When I make a sacrifice to help accomplish the Lord's will ahead of my own desires, I say that God's will is more important, worth more than my own will or my own desires. I think most of us would agree to this, would agree that making a sacrifice can be a form of worship, but does it matter what we sacrifice or how we sacrifice? And I think for this morning it does, because I think it is a matter of what reveals out of our hearts. If we want to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 24, I'm probably going to throw quite a few scripture at you this morning, so just be prepared. I've given them all to Jai, so they should be up there. But Matthew chapter 6, 19, 24, let's look at our hearts when we're talking about sacrifice. Jesus talks about where we store our treasure and what it does. And he says in 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You could also say the last one there could be translated as you cannot worship both God and money. And so we can see here that this is a matter of the heart. I talked about before in a previous sermon how we usually find our treasures when we start to assess and think about where we spend most of our time, where we spend most of our money, our talents, etc. And we can assess where we're sacrificing, right? So if I am, you know, just for instance, if I'm sacrificing, say, money and I'm putting it away in savings for my daughter's college, right? Then I'm sacrificing myself, and I'm saying I'm putting their future education ahead of my own wants and desires, right? So I'm making a sacrifice there. And so we're all making sacrifices somewhere in our lives. And what we want to do is we want to be able to stop, look, and think about what our sacrifices are and where our sacrifices are going, right? Because if we don't, my fear is if we don't do that, if we're not stopping and thinking about and assessing our sacrifices, right, then I believe that if we don't do that, they will reveal a selfishness. Why? Because our nature is selfish, right? We are prone to be selfish. We are prone to wander, right? And if we do not stop and evaluate where we're placing our time, our money, and our talents, then and we just overlook them, then my fear is that we continue to move further and further away from sacrifices that are going back towards the Lord. To overcome that and to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, we need to respond to the things that we know. Let's look at verse 21 there in Romans. Verse 21 in Matthew. It does not say, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what we can take away from this is we need to lead our hearts to sacrifice. We need to lead our hearts to sacrifice so for what we know is the will of God. We need to lead our hearts to sacrifice for what we know is the will of God. And when we do that, our hearts are drawn closer to the Lord, right? Our hearts are drawn closer to the Lord. So how can we lead our hearts to sacrifice and know what is the will of God? Well, let's look again back at Romans this time, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The word tells us that in order to lead our hearts to sacrifice, we need to be what? We need to be transformed, and we need to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. We must be born again. We have to have a transformation of the heart and a renewing of the mind. This is a work, a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says, God saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So this is all very important. important when we're talking about, first and foremost, our sacrifice through worship. In order to sacrifice through worship, we first have to have a renewal of our minds, a transformation of heart. You have to be born again. You have to be a believer. The Spirit has to be working in you. So when we're talking about why sacrifice is important to our worship, it reveals the conditions of our heart. It shows the working of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. And this is important. Worship through sacrifice is also a demonstration of our faith. So if we look again at Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. When he says, I appeal to you therefore, he's saying, I appeal to you on the basis of what has gone before in the first 11 chapters of this letter, right? So he's appealing to you, therefore, based on what has been said in the first 11 chapters. And Paul sums up the foundation of the first 11 chapters with the phrase, the mercies of God. So the mercies of God are being displayed all through the first 11 chapters of Romans, right? And in the mercies of God, God has been merciful to us through what? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, those who believe in him are justified by faith and reconciled to God and have the hope of everlasting joy. Amen. Right? And so the first 11 chapters are the mercies of God. Because of the mercies of God, we are justified by faith. Because we have faith, we can demonstrate sacrifices unto the Lord as a form of worship to him. Why? Because of the mercies of God, because of the work that he has done, because of Jesus Christ, because of the hope that we have in our everlasting joy. Right? So where do these sacrifices come from, right? And so we have to be born again. We have to have a transformation of the heart. We have to have a renewed mind. We have to have faith that is demonstrating the outward work, the demonstration of our sacrifice and worship. Why? Because he is worthy. Romans 8:34 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Christ Jesus is interceding for you and for me, for those who believe in him and follow him faithfully. It is our faith in Christ through the mercies of God by which we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. When we see somebody worshiping through sacrifice, we see an active faith at work. Amen? Hallelujah. We can also see faith being displayed through sacrifice if we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews 11, 4 says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteousness, as righteous, and God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Cain and Abel were the first two children of Adam and Eve. Abel's sacrifice was by faith, while Cain's was not. His sacrifice was not accepted because it was coming from other motives, from motives that were not expressing faith. The sacrifice of Cain and Abel is a great example of how we should sacrifice. So I'm going to ask you to turn to or look on the screen, and we're going to turn to Genesis 4 because we're going to take just a little bit closer look at the story so that we might learn how to worship through sacrifice. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 7 says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked in the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. So in this text, we learn a couple of things about how sacrifice can express our faith and be worshiped to the Lord. Now we see that both Cain and Abel made sacrifices, right? They both were making sacrifices to the Lord. But there's clear distinction between those two sacrifices. Only Abel's was accepted because it was by faith. How do we know it was by faith? How do we know that Abel's sacrifice was by faith and Cain's was not? Well, I think there's a few things we can look at here. And this could be where it gets a little bit more difficult for the hearer. And let me go ahead and relieve you. It already has been for the messenger. And so just hang with me here. But I believe we should be pressed in this area at least from time to time. Sacrifice is worship when we sacrifice the first and the best. Scripture tells us that Cain made a sacrifice of some of the fruits of the soil, but Abel sacrificed fat portions from some of the first of his flock. So we see that Cain made a sacrifice of some of the fruits. He gave some of the fruits, but Abel sacrificed the fat portions. Abel brought the best of the first part of what the Lord had provided as a sacrifice to the Lord, while Cain had just brought some of what he had, not from the first, not the best parts, but what he had. These were leftovers. These were the leftovers that Cain brought as a sacrifice to the Lord. If we make sacrifices to the Lord of our leftovers, what do we say? Does that say that, Lord, we trust you? Does that say, Lord, we worship you? Does that speak worship at all to our Lord? If we are bringing our leftovers to the Lord and not our first and our best. Cain's sacrifice, it did speak something, but it was not, Lord, you are worthy. See, when we offer sacrifices to the Lord of the things we don't want or does not cost us, it does speak worship, but it speaks worship of ourselves rather than worship of the Lord. When we give God the first part of what we make, that speaks faith. It's saying, Lord, I trust you to provide for my needs. I trust you to provide. Lord, here is the first and the best of what I have. You've given me everything. You've provided everything for me. I'm going to give and sacrifice you. Why? Because, Lord, I trust and have faith in you because of what you have done for me already. We go back to the mercies of God. We go back to the mercies of God. Or we could say, Lord, let me first pay all of our bills. Let me buy all my food. And then I need to put some in savings. And then there's a couple things that I need. And then after that, I'll have some left over and I'll give you a part of that. I'll give you a part of that. Here's a few dollars, right? Here's a little bit that I got left over. I got some left over, so I'm going to go ahead and give that. I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord because I got this left over. And I'm going to give him, I'll tell you what, I'm going to stretch out here and I'm going to give him 50% of what I got left over, right? This is not the first and the best of what you have. This is not faith in our Lord. This is not worship of the Lord. It's not even about the amount you give, as much as it is about how much relative to what you have. Because everything you have was given to you by the Lord already. Everything that you have. And so, is our sacrifice, I think everyone in, most of us know that God doesn't need our sacrifice. Our sacrifice is you need the sacrifice. We need the sacrifice. Why? Because we need to demonstrate the ongoing faith that's being worked out in our lives through our sacrifice. We need to be drawn closer to Christ. We need the sacrifice. God doesn't need our sacrifice. He has everything. He owns it all. So sacrifice is about our hearts, our faith being demonstrated outwardly, not just to other people, but for our own hope and for our own salvation. The assurance that we have. Not only should our sacrifices be the first and the best, but we should do it cheerfully, right? We should do it cheerfully. Sacrifice is worship when our sacrifice is cheerful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, "Each man give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Cheerfully. How can we sacrifice cheerfully, when we sacrifice the first and the best parts? Well, that can be tough, right? Sometimes that can be tough. Maybe you're already cheerfully giving. I pray that you are. And maybe you're already cheerfully giving the best and the first parts. And if you're not, I pray that you would look at that this morning, because we are acting in faith in God who is able to provide for us. Look at the next verse there after verse 7 in 2 Corinthians. Verse 8 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." It is faith that even though we sacrifice, God is able to provide all that we need. And we trust in Him that all that we have is all that we need. We trust in Him that all that we have is all that we need. Do you trust in that this morning? That all that you have is all that you need? Ooh, that's tough, isn't it? When we believe that and we know that, we can give cheerfully from the first and the best parts, by faith. That is truly worship to the Lord. And like I said, maybe you're already doing this. I was thinking, do I give cheerfully? You know, do I give cheerfully? I know I don't give angrily, right? I don't give angrily. I don't give begrudgingly. But something that I think we could all do that might help us to be more cheerful is if we prayed over our offerings, if we prayed over our sacrifices, our time that we are preparing to give, our talents that we are preparing to give, and our offerings, if we prayed over those, recognizing that it is going for the purpose of seeing God's will be done and see His kingdom expanded. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome if we prayed and meditated and thought over what God was going to do with that sacrifice, that offering, how he was going to use it for his will and for the expansion of his kingdom here in the local church? You could be praying for that. You could be praying for your offering every Sunday. You could be praying for the time that you give, that it would be used for God's will and that it would be used to expand his kingdom right here in this local church. I think that would make us all more cheerful about our giving, right? Lastly, sacrifice is worship when our sacrifice is costly. Uh-oh. I don't like that. Our sacrifices are worship when they cost us. David, in 2 Samuel, when he was going to build an altar to the Lord, he was told to build it on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. 2 Samuel 24:18 says, "So David went to Arunah and requested to buy his threshing floor. Arunah offered to give it to him to build the altar and to provide the wood and animals for David's sacrifice." 2 Samuel 24:24 says, "But David said, 'No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord, my God, burnt offerings that cost me nothing.'" That cost me nothing. If your sacrifice is not costing you something, it's not worship. It's not worship. That's why we talk about the first and the best. The first and the best, that costs. And we can talk about our offerings and our tithings and our time and our talent. And I think a lot of times, and I thought about this even for our church, and not just here locally, but even throughout our community, as good Baptists, most of us probably give 10%, you know, or around that principle of 10%. But some of you out there give 10%, and it may not move the needle at all. It may not move the needle for you at all. And so I'm not telling you what you should or should not give, but I'm telling you that our sacrifice to the Lord should come through faith, but it should cost us. It should cost us. God sacrificed, gave up his son. What a cost. And we struggle to give 10% back, you know, of what the Lord has already blessed us with. And he gave his son for you and for me. And we did nothing. Nothing. God has already done for us. And then we still struggle. We did nothing. Nothing. But God sent his son for you and for me and sacrifice to die on the cross, so that we may fellowship with him, and we turn up our nose because we don't want to struggle. We don't want to suffer. Our sacrifice should cost us something. And by faith this morning, I pray that we would think about the mercies that God has poured out on us, and that we would be able to search our heart and pray about where we are in our giving, not just of money, not just of money. What about your time? Some of you are giving mightily. I know that. Some of you could give more. What about your talents that God has given you and blessed you with? Are they? And again, a lot of you are using your talents, man. All over the church, we're seeing people's talents being used week in and week out. But some of you could give more. Some of you, it doesn't cost. And so, Are you worshiping the Lord in your sacrifice? Are you giving the first and the best parts of what you make? Are you giving cheerfully? Is your sacrifice costing you something? Maybe perhaps this morning, this whole worship through sacrifice is new to you. Maybe it's new to you. You can focus on how your sacrifice can be by faith as you give the first and the best parts of what the Lord has given to you. You can give it cheerfully, even as it is costly. But I would pray that we would be a church as a whole that demonstrates the glory, the weightiness of God through our worship at sacrifice. And that as a church, we would give our first and the best of all that we have so that God would be glorified, so that He would be exalted above us. And that's what our sacrifice does. It says, God, You are worthy. More than my wants and my desires. And how many times we put our wants and our desires in front of God. I pray that as a church, we this morning would pray and assess and meditate and think about our sacrifices so that we can draw closer to the Lord as we continue to worship Him each and every day. There may be some here this morning that's not worshiping the Lord. And maybe that's because you don't know the Lord. And if this message is speaking to you this morning in that way, and you've searched your heart and you can't say, you know, I really haven't been worshiping the Lord in any aspect of my life. I pray that you would turn that over this morning, that you would pray and ask God to come into your life and to do a work, and that you would begin to live a life that is honoring to God and worshiping Him, and that we all would present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And maybe you are doing those things this morning, and I pray that you would spend this time to prayerfully consider exactly where you're at, and so that you would know what is the will of God for each and every one of your lives. Let's bow our heads.